Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Ken LaVica. Ken is the play-by-play voice of Florida Atlantic basketball and football on the FAU radio network. His Twitter is at KLV1063. So Florida Atlantic is one of the six schools which will join the American Athletic Conference on July 1st. FAU is located in Boca Raton. It joins the AAC after spending the past 10 years in Conference USA. FAU became an NCAA Division I school in 1993. It was a member of what is now the Atlantic Sun Conference. So, Ken, we have to start with last season's Final Four. The Owls were a story that I think anybody paying attention to college basketball and sports really, really followed, really fell in love with them. They won Conference USA last year, earned a number 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. They defeated Memphis, Fairleigh Dickinson, Tennessee, and Kansas State on their way to the Final Four before losing to San Diego State in the national semifinal. As a broadcaster, what was that run like to be a part of?
Yeah, Paul, thanks for having me. And it was incredible. It is that month of March was one of the best months of my life. And the reason was, I mean, FAU going to the Final Four came completely out of nowhere. But FAU, as far as its season was concerned, you knew right around January that something special was potentially coming for a program that had been an afterthought, that had only made one other NCAA tournament appearance in its entire existence. But this is a team that was an NCAA net ranking darling all year last year, had an outstanding non-conference schedule that they aced, started rolling their way through Conference USA, which was having its best year as a conference in the last decade. So you knew something special could happen, but the Final Four, I mean, truly an incredible experience. But the entire month of March, now FAU, there's no charter to be had with FAU. That basketball program, and I've been there 17 years, it's been commercial travel, commercial flights in airports, dealing with delays, doing all of that normal traveler stuff. So FAU clinched the regular season championship at home on a Saturday against UTEP and then finished out the regular season at Rice, a team that's coming into the American as well, and at Louisiana Tech. From there, because there's no charter, FAU just drove into Dallas. The conference tournament's in Frisco, and FAU spent 3 days in Dallas, practiced at SMU, and then on the Thursday before the tournament started, made the 30-minute drive to Frisco and ended up playing its 3 games in the Conference USA tournament, winning that. We got home just in time for the Selection Sunday show, found out that FAU was a 9 seed against Memphis, and 2 days later, hopped on another flight, went to Columbus, prepared for that, ended up beating Memphis in that first round, beating Fairleigh Dickinson. Since Tennessee already had a day in hand of preparation after dismantling Duke, the decision was made, we're not going to go back to Boca Raton. We're just going to take a commercial flight. We can't wait for the charter from Boca. There's no point. We'll take a commercial flight, a Delta, from Columbus to LaGuardia and go right into New York City and start preparing for the Volunteers. So I spent that entire week in New York City. We know what happened there. Tennessee, Kansas State, that victory came home for another couple of days and then went right to Houston for the Final Four. Myself, coaching staff, FAU players, that entire group, we were home for the month of March 3 nights. We slept 3 nights in our beds in the month of March, but I tell you what, it was one of the single greatest experiences I've ever had. It was just us, and it was batting down the hatches, and it was prepare and enjoy in Madison Square Garden and the entire thing. The run was truly incredible.
What is the big play or the moment or the celebration? What stands out from the NCAA tournament? What's tops in your memory bank?
Well, the one that's from an individual play perspective, the one that stands out is still Nick Boyd's layup to beat Memphis in the opening round. And I know Memphis fans will still think that they got jobbed by the officials on a held ball call, but it was FAU's outright hustle, and FAU outworked Memphis. It was their hustle getting on the floor, getting their hands in there to draw the tie up in a very critical, tense situation. situation to get the held ball and earn the inbound from the baseline that gave FAU the opportunity. Perfectly drawn up inbound from Dusty May. The seal off underneath the hoop was beautiful. And then Nick Boyd with the finish to beat Memphis. That's the play that stands out most to me. And it's funny, FAU, prior to that, they did have a buzzer beater in Columbus back in 2016, beating Ohio State in overtime. So buzzer beaters and big wins in Columbus for this program. And it actually happened before. But then just the end of the Kansas State game, and you're there in New York City, and you're there at Madison Square Garden, and you've just taken down the most electrifying player in the tournament in Marquise Noel, and you've hit big shot after big shot after big shot, and then Mike Forrest hitting all four of his free throws in the final minute to seal it off, a guy who was nearly dropped out of the rotation after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, the lone senior on this team, and he comes through like that, and just the satisfaction of, I cannot believe that this team is going to the Final Four, and this team is four halves of basketball away from a national championship. Like that feeling, that satisfaction, that will always, always, always be with me. And that has now come up as my most memorable feeling from the tournament. It is luckily supplanted the buzzer beater loss to San Diego State. That feeling lingered for about a month, but it's the gratitude of being a part of that and standing on the floor of Madison Square Garden in the full appreciation of, I can't believe that this group just did this.
So FAU had been to the NCAA tournament once previously in 2002. How did this season happen?
Well, the improvement of this basketball program has been coming on for the last 4 years since Dusty May got to Boca Raton. I've been doing this 17 years. I have called prior to Dusty May one singular above 500 season, and that was in 2011 when FAU won the Sun Belt. And then they were bounced in their opening game of the tournament and got blown out in the NIT by Miami. That was it. Everything else has been sub 500. Absolutely no discussion of a conference championship. But under Dusty May, it's been nothing but above 500 seasons. And then you started to get above 500 in conference play each of the last 3 years. And that core stayed intact. Mike Forrest was FAU's first recruit under Dusty May. And him just wrapping up his college career, he's sort of the linchpin of this entire thing. But in the world of transfer portals, in the world of these mid-major programs getting their rosters poached, Dusty May has done a great job of keeping the core together and then picking the right pieces, what he needs to maximize what this team can be. A very exciting brand of ball movement, basketball, that's all predicated upon extremely stingy defense, and it all culminated in this year. Going into the season, I mean, the talk around the program was, hey, they can win 22, 23, 24 games, be in the discussion with North Texas and UAB into the final couple of weeks of the season for a regular season championship. That was the consensus thought, I think, around the program, and the conference knew that FAU was bringing back a lot, and there was a lot of improvement within the program, but then you get to 35 wins, and you get into a blowout win in the Conference USA Tournament final over UAB into the NCAA tournament run. It definitely exceeded expectations, but it's not like this was an 8-win team that suddenly came out of nowhere. It just wasn't noticed by the casual college basketball fan because it's FAU. It's Florida Atlantic. There's no history there. There was no reason to pay attention.
Tell us more about Dusty May and how he was able to build that thing.
I would go to war for this guy. I mean, he is as salt of the earth, as grinded out, and I'm a little biased towards him because I'm a Midwesterner from the Chicago area. He is, while he's a Hoosier, blech, he's a fellow Midwesterner like myself. We have the same basketball sensibilities, grew up in Big Ten country, have had fairly similar life experiences. And so this guy is a basketball junkie. Just a total basketball head. He is influenced by a trip he made overseas in the very, very, very early part of his coaching career, where he took in a European tournament and fell in love with the style of play. And he's tried to incorporate that into his Dusty May brand of basketball. And this is a guy who has done everything. We always hear about paid his dues. It's one of the badges of honor in the coaching industry. Nobody's paid their dues more than Dusty May. He's gone from manager at Indiana under Bob Knight to low-level assistant at USC to first full-time assistant role at Eastern Michigan, going to UAB, bouncing around the country, his family coming with him, his young family just grinding away, was an assistant under Mike White at Louisiana Tech. Mike White left to take the Florida job a number of years ago, and there was a huge internal push for Dusty May to get that job, to get the Louisiana Tech job. The players were petitioning for him to get the job, and Louisiana Tech went a different direction, hiring Eric Conkle from Miami, who's now the head coach at Tulsa. That was a massive professional hit to Dusty May. He ended up going to Florida with Mike White, and then finally got his first head coaching opportunity at FAU after Florida Atlantic parted ways with Michael Curry, the predecessor to Dusty May in Boca Raton. He has done everything. He has seen everything. He has coached everybody. He knows everybody. And he's young. He's energetic. He is definitely a player's coach who can absolutely, though, put his fist down and say, all right, let's get to work. Let's lock in. He is an unbelievable basketball coach. There's a reason why he was the hottest commodity on the coaching market, or at least one of them. And there's a reason FAU locked him up to the 10 years, because it hasn't just been a rejuvenation of FAU basketball. There was no rejuvenation to have. It's sort of as if he's actually birthed FAU basketball.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So Dusty May is back, as you said. All five starters are back from that team that went 35-4. I saw the Owls are number 4 in the CBS offseason top 25, number 9 at ESPN. How is this changing basketball on campus and in Boca Raton?
Yeah, FAU, for as long as I've been at FAU, has been a football school. Howard Schnellenberger, Lane Kiffin, that's where the majority of the attention goes. I mean, Paul, we're in South Florida. It's all football all the time down here. Football over everything. But now, I mean, I've got more people, even non-FAU fans, casuals, Palm Beach County, this area, you've got to really make an impression to be thought about, especially outside of season, from a sports perspective. And I can't tell you how many people are, hey, Ken, what is FAU going to do next year basketball-wise? Is Elijah Martin back? Is Nellie Davis back? It's amazing. It is completely supplanted right now, the interest in football. Tom Herman, the new FAU football coach, has admitted it. Hey, we got to ride this basketball wave. I never in my life thought I'd hear any football coach at FAU ever say anything like that. I almost passed out. So it's still out of body. And here you go over the preseason prognostications right now. Number 4, number 9, they're undoubtedly going to be a top 10 team in both polls going into next season. This is an FAU basketball program that was ranked for the first time ever in the top 25 in January. Ever. Never even received votes previous to that until this past season. That was an accomplishment in and of itself. And so now the normalizing of, oh yeah, this is a top 10 team. Oh yeah, this is a team that is going to be picked as the favorite to win the American. You've got to, there's still that thrill there. There's still this, I can't believe this, but also if you're going to be a real basketball program and you know it at Wichita State, you got to act like, all right, well, this is business. This is what this program is now. This is a top 10 basketball team, and it's got to start to be normalized, because if you start to treat everything like, oh man, a first, I think you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. You've got to treat it as if, all right, this is expected. We've got the pieces.
Making the move to the American, how is that viewed on campus, and what's the maybe the overall atmosphere, the environment for athletics at FAU?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously extremely, extremely impressed upon this fan base how important it is from a financial standpoint, from a visibility standpoint, from a profile perspective. It's massive. And I think that when you're able to come into a situation with a stable conference like this, with a phenomenal TV deal, especially on the football side, it's nothing but good. And over time, it's going to pay off, not only pay off financially, but it's also going to pay off in terms of becoming one of the more recognizable brands in college athletics. So there's an excitement there. There's an anticipation about it. There's the ability to welcome in a new rival, make USF a new rival in every single sport. That's going to be an awful lot of fun. There's being able to go up against the Wichita States, the Memphises of the world, and be able to capitalize off of that. I mean, think about it, Paul. In real time, FAU lived this last year. FAU went into the NCAA tournament with 30 wins in tow, and with a regular season championship, and with a conference tournament championship, and a top 15 net ranking, and still could only muster a 9 seed because of some preconceived notions about the conference they came from in Conference USA. I promise you, same profile, same resume, FAU came in out of the American, that ain't a 9 seed. So there are a multitude of reasons why FAU going to the American is exciting. It spans from monetary to profile to visibility to just how the conference is run, how professional the entire operation is. Everybody's really, really, really looking forward to it and becoming part of the American family.
Who is FAU's most famous athletic alum?
So that's a good one. That's a good question. It's got to be on the football side. What I would say is Alfred Morris, former Washington and Dallas running back, is definitely up there. And then pass rusher extraordinaire with the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson, is certainly in that discussion as well. Devin Singletary spent 5 seasons as the starting running back with the Buffalo Bills. He's up there as well. Yeah, it definitely comes from the football side. But those three immediately come to mind. I think for FAU fans, though, still the most popular player is Rusty Smith, who was a quarterback under Howard Schnellenberger as FAU made the leap into the Division I ranks. He was the first bowl-winning quarterback. He was the first conference-winning quarterback, and he was the first ever FAU draft pick by the Tennessee Titans. So that's probably the FAU fan pick, but to the broad football-loving public, those three names are the most notable.
Give us a restaurant or a campus dive bar recommendation if there are Shocker fans who make their way down to FAU for a game.
So I think that Meisner Park, pound for pound, while it's a little bit pricey, gives you the best feel for what Boca Raton has to offer. A little bit upscale, but not out of control. Great restaurants with some fun little Irish bars sprinkled in between, a movie theater if you need. It's only about 4.5 minutes from campus on US 1 in Boca Raton. What I would say to Wichita State fans is there are hotels all over the place in Boca and all over South Florida. A little bit goes a long way with that. So save up some of the cash when you're coming down here. Understand that you can have the beach trips. FAU is only 2 miles, less than 2 miles from the beach. So go hit up the beach, go to Deerfield Beach or go to any of the beaches in Boca, but hit up Meisner Park and enjoy that and really get the feel of Boca Raton. And it's upscale without being pretentious. I think that's my my best way to sell it to you.
That's the way we like to think of ourselves in Wichita. It's upscale, but not pretentious.
That's right.
Who is the big rival for the Owls?
Well, it's been Florida International, who stays put in Conference USA. But can it be a rivalry if you just absolutely work them every single year on the football field and then in most sports? It's tough. So FIU's been the rival. They played a game called the Shula Bowl. Howard Schnellenberger, he helped put it together with the late, great Don Shula. The Shula family still is involved in the game. But Don Strock, who was the first coach of Florida International, obviously, quarterback for Don Shula with the Dolphins, and Howard Schnellenberger, offensive coordinator, perfect season for the Dolphins under Shula. They put that game together. And with Howard, it was his brainchild, and it was sort of, hey, Don, you good with this? And Don kind of half paying attention. Yeah, sure, because that's the way Howard did things. Howard Schnellenberger just got what he wanted, and so the Shula Bowl was born. They played it every year. It's been extremely one-sided in favor of Florida Atlantic. It'll be put back on the schedule in the 2024 season. They've signed a 3-year deal to continue it, but it won't be on the schedule this season. But that's been the biggest rival, but a very natural geographic rival coming in now with USF, who FAU has played plenty over the years, picked up a couple of wins over them. And so that rivalry begins.
And FIU located in Miami, so it looks like those schools are about a little over an hour apart.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. USF then would seem to make some sense. FAU has had some big name football coaches. You mentioned them: Howard Schnellenberger, Lane Kiffin. Been to 5 bowl games since starting the program in 2004. Describe football's prominence on campus.
Yeah, so FAU used to play on an off-campus site called Lockhart Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, which is about 20-25 minutes south of Boca Raton. Lockhart was the former home of the old soccer franchise, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. It has since been torn down and is now the home of Inter Miami, where Lionel Messi just signed. And so it's about to get a whole lot of traffic and a whole lot of attention here in the next couple of months. But then FAU in 2011 opened its on-campus stadium, and it is right in the center of campus. Howard Schnellenberger helped design it. It was Howard Schnellenberger who flew up to Tallahassee to lobby the legislature at the 11th hour to let FAU have the finances in order to put the stadium up. He came back triumphantly. The stadium was erected, and in that 2011 season, its first season open, it was Howard Schnellenberger's final season as head coach. He was able to coach in it, something that had always been a quest for him since he took over the FAU football program. Football has always been king. Football has always been the revenue generator. Football has always been the massive focus. Football's always been the sport to try and wedge FAU into the very crowded state of Florida college market with the Gators, with the Seminoles, with the Canes, with USF, with UCF. And so football's always been the cash cow. Now with Willie Taggart departed, he was let go at the conclusion of last season. Tom Herman, former Houston and Texas head coach, comes in after taking a couple of years away from the game, and he's already come on. He's made a huge recruiting effort. What he inherits is a very talented club and some of the best facilities in the American stadium and practice facilities for that matter. FAU has put a ton of money into the facilities, especially the practice facilities, and especially with the football program over the last couple of years. It has been been a remarkable jump from where it was even 5 years ago. The athletic director, Brian White, has done a superb job of getting the community involved, finally tapping into the wealth that is in Palm Beach County and is in the Boca Raton region more specifically. So this FAU football program, it's got all the pieces in place. It's had the success. It's a matter of getting it back on track. It's a matter of Tom Herman righting the ship. Once Lane Kiffin left, it just wasn't the same. And so FAU is hoping that Tom Herman can bring this thing into Houston levels potentially here in the next couple of years.
Baseball is a big deal at Wichita State, so we'll talk about that sport. FAU has had some good success, six regionals since 2010, went to a super regional in 2002. Describe the baseball program for us.
The baseball program is the epitome of bursting at the seams and accomplishing beyond your means. Like I said, football has been king at FAU, and baseball has, despite the fact it doesn't have the facilities, it doesn't have the state-of-the-art stadium. The facilities are actually... I think anybody at FAU in athletics would agree, average at best. There's been a lot of lipstick on pig here over the last several years with FAU baseball's facilities, yet John McCormick keeps churning out winners and 25, 30 win teams and massive talent that's come through FAU. McCormick is a phenomenal coach, and where he succeeds is that he's able to identify the high school baseball players in South Florida, from South Florida, just endlessly rich, maybe even as much as football is down here. And the guys who maybe Florida doesn't pay a ton of attention to, or Florida State doesn't pay enough attention to, or Miami doesn't do its proper due diligence, John McCormick is able to pick off that kid and bring him into the program. FAU yearly is beating Miami on their three occasions playing weeknight baseball in the non-conference. FAU has beat Miami, nationally ranked Miami, two handfuls of times over the last three, four seasons. They play Florida. They play the best of the best, and it prepares them for the conference season. It really is for FAU. If they're not in the final week of the season like they were this year and not in the race with meaningful games for a conference championship, it's a bit disappointing. And if you saw the facilities, you'd be stunned that that was the expectation. But that is the expectation because John McCormick has set that bar. And these players just go out and they play and they put up massive seasons. They don't whine and complain about, oh, the stadium's not this, the stadium's not this. They just ball. And FAU's done as good a job as any program at the mid-major level in college baseball of identifying talent. And that's why FAU has had so much baseball success. It helps be in the heart of South Florida when it comes to collegiate baseball.
So softball sounds like a similar history at FAU. They had a longtime coach, Joan Joyce. They went to 9 NCAA regionals, won 12 conference titles under her. Jordan Clark replaced her. The Owls went 35-20 this season. Tell us about softball program at FAU.
Yeah, Joan Joyce was brought in to bring in the program, to birth the program at Florida Atlantic. Joan Joyce, a softball legend in her own right, arguably the greatest softball player in the sport's history, struck out Ted Williams, also played on the U.S. national team in basketball, also holds the LPGA record for least number of putts in a round. She was an all-time legend, one of the greatest female athletes to ever walk the planet. She passed away now just over a year ago, and so a change in the direction of the softball program. The stadium is now named after her. She was the one who got it built. And so Jordan Clark comes in young, energetic, great reputation after a very successful stint at Ohio State as an assistant coach. She's come down here in her first year. FAU in a transition year was right in the running for the conference championship. championship going into the final week and made some noise in the Conference USA tournament as well. An extremely, extremely positive first year for Jordan Clark. And that team got better and better as the year went on and the offense started to find itself. But boy, were they exciting. A lot of slap hitters. They'd steal bases. They take the extra base. And really, that's the identity that Jordan Clark was looking for. She is, wherever you see her, just a ray of sunshine. The girls absolutely love her. She recruits extremely well. And she came in and made an immediate impact. A lot of exciting, exciting softball to come with Jordan Clark at the helm at Florida Atlantic.
FAU is one of six schools joining the American. The others, Rice, Charlotte, Texas San Antonio, UAB, and North Texas. Any of those jump out at you as maybe a program that you see is really on the rise? What would you tell Shocker fans about this group as a whole?
I think that this group, at any time a conference loses teams, especially the ones, the profile that left the American, and then these lower conference teams come in, I understand the natural reaction is going to be, oh, this is terrible. The conference isn't going to be the same. All of these schools, these athletic programs, and what the ceiling or lack thereof of these athletic departments are, I promise you, they're going to start showing their worth in this year number one. North Texas, that basketball program, and it's FAU that ends up making that huge leap to the Final Four, but North Texas had a share of either the regular season or conference tournament title each of the last 3 years. That is a very, very good, strong basketball program that's had one of the best defenses in the country every single season. They're going to come in, they're going to compete right away. You've got UTSA, that football program is in year one going to absolutely challenge, if not be the favorite, to win the American in football. I mean, UTSA, they have that thing absolutely rolling. Rice, right there in the center of Houston, that athletics department has really built itself up over the past couple of years. I think that they are a powerhouse waiting to happen, especially on the football side of things, and a very, very, very good head basketball coach as well. So when you have these programs come in Charlotte, a new head football coach, their facilities are beautiful. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. What I would say is you're going to start seeing the benefits of these schools coming into the American in year one in multiple sports. There's not going to be, I'm telling you, there is not going to be as big a drop-off as everybody thinks. I think that the American is going to be extremely well-served by these programs and extremely competitive. And RPIs are going to be just fine. And I'd be willing to bet that there's not much pushover being had from these teams coming from Conference USA into the American.
Ken Levicka is the play-by-play voice of Florida Atlantic basketball and football on the FAU Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter at KLV1063. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
Paul, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great insight, as always. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can always find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.